Good morning, everyone, and welcome to St. Timothy's. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us by listening to our recorded service this morning. Just a reminder that at 11:30 on Sunday morning, right after hopefully you've listened to this, we will be having our Zoom coffee hour. It's a great time to actually see faces, to be able to wave and pass on greetings to each other. Please email Andrea to be sent the link so that you can join us for our coffee hour. We're excited that our Alpha program has successfully launched, and there are 23 people, leaders and participants, all gathering on Zoom twice a week, Tuesday nights and Saturday nights, to go through the Alpha program. Please be praying for this program, praying for all the people who are participating, that we would all grow in our relationship with Jesus. Our youth have had a wonderful party of parties on Friday night, celebrating birthdays and graduations. A wonderful time of celebration and just being together. Please be praying for our youth as they are missing out on some of these milestones in their lives, that they would still feel the sense of accomplishment that goes along with graduating and moving on. We also have another service coming up next Thursday on Ascension Day, the 21st. We will be posting an evening prayer service, just sort of like our Sunday mornings, but it'll be done in the evening. So look for the link on Thursday to celebrate Christ's glorious ascension. Let us just take a moment of silence to prepare our hearts for worship. O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouth shall proclaim your praise.
In your resurrection, O Christ.
Let heaven and earth rejoice. Alleluia.
Alleluia. The Lord is risen indeed.
O come, let us worship.
We praise and thank you, O God our Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, you have enlightened us by revealing the light that never fades. For dark death has been destroyed, and radiant life is everywhere restored. What was promised is fulfilled. We have been joined to God through renewed life in the Spirit of the risen Lord. Glory and praise to you, our Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Spirit, in the kingdom of light eternal, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia. The Lord is risen indeed.
Oh, come, let us worship.
Our first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 17. Then Paul stood in the front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, To an unknown God. What, therefore, you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives all to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. And as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone or an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, he now commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this morning is Psalm 66. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard.
Who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried.
You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs.
You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a spacious place.
I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows.
Those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble.
I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats.
Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me.
I cried aloud to him, and he was extolled with my tongue.
If I have cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened.
But truly, God has listened. He has given heed to the words of my prayer.
Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our second reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 3. Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey. When God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is now gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. 'Tis his Father's pleasure we should call him Lord. Oh, from the beginning was the mighty Word.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Christians, this Lord Jesus shall return again with his Father's glory, with his angel train. For all race of empire meet upon his brow, and our hearts confess him King of glory now.
I speak to you this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A couple of weeks ago now, I came across a very frightening spam email in my personal inbox. The author of the email tried to make it sound like he knew me personally. He knew one of my former passwords for another account, and he attempted to blackmail me unless I paid a set fee in Bitcoin. Now, many of us have run across these types of emails in our accounts, especially with our incessant use of email during COVID. This past Tuesday evening, after our first session of Alpha had ended, my husband Ben received a call from one of his elderly clients, a recent widow, who just came into receipt of one of the very same spam emails. She was crying on the phone, and she said that she hadn't known what to do. So she actually responded to the email and gave her personal information. She told Ben how alone she felt, especially during this time of self-isolation. She had nobody, no one to help her. Without her computer as a lifeline, a connection to the world around her, she felt abandoned, alone, and forgotten. She felt orphaned. And we can all just imagine how that might feel. At some point, we all want or even need to hear the words from our gospel today, "I will not leave you orphaned." They speak directly to some of our greatest fears and challenges: abandonment and isolation, loneliness and vulnerability. They remind us that we're not destined to walk this earth without an identity or a direction. We do not stand alone. To be sure, there are seasons of life or moments when the transitions and the tragedies can leave us feeling like orphans. Whether spoken or unspoken, the questions begin. What will I do now? Where do I go? What happens next? Who is going to love and nurture and guide me? Who will stand up for me? These are the questions of an orphan. These are the questions I imagine running through the heads and the hearts of the disciples in our gospel reading today. It is the Last Supper. The disciples have been fed, their feet have been washed, the betrayer has left. It is now night. It's dark. Jesus announces he's leaving. The one for whom they left everything for now says he is leaving. We do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Show us the Father. More orphan questions. Anyone who has ever lost a loved one, a spouse, a parent, a child, a friend, security, hope, knows the orphan's questions. We fear becoming orphaned. And that fear points to the deeper reality that we, by ourselves, are not enough. It is not, however, because we are deficient. It's rather because we were never intended or created to be self-sufficient. We were never intended to stand alone as individuals. We were created to love and to be loved, to live in relationship as persons giving themselves to each other, to dwell, to abide, to remain within each other, even as the Father is in Jesus and Jesus is in the Father, which is the antithesis of being orphaned. I will not leave you orphaned. That is the promise. Regardless of the circumstances of our lives, storms, death, separation from one another, we have never been and will never be orphaned by God. How strange that must have sounded to the disciples. In the same conversation, Jesus tells them that he is leaving and coming. Leaving and coming sure sound like opposites to me. And if we're not careful, we'll get stuck trying to reconcile or figure out this concept. But I'm not sure that it's something for us to figure out. Rather, I wonder if it's a means to see and live in a different way. It is the same thing when we try to teach our young children the concept of what it means for us to leave for work or leave on a business trip. We try and explain that we will always return to them. We say to them, even though we are apart, I will never leave you. Leaving and coming. Presence and absence. These must be held in tension. And that is what Jesus has set before us today in the gospel text. That tension confronts us with the question of whether Jesus, for us, is a past memory or a present reality, a sentimental story that makes us feel good, or a living person that challenges, guides, and nurtures our life. According to Jesus, the answer to that question is determined by love that is revealed and fulfilled in keeping his commandments. A little later in the service today, we will recite the Hear, O Israel. The affirmation of our faith, it speaks to God's commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love our enemies, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. As we say these words, let us ask the question, do we keep the commandments? Is our love growing, expanding, transformative of ourselves and the world? If so, Jesus and the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who has been sent to be with us, is probably for us a present reality, and we know the fulfillment of his promise that we are not left orphaned. If, however, we remain self-enclosed and isolated, we relegate ourselves and each other to the orphanages of this world. Jesus' promise is still real, and he remains faithful, but we just haven't claimed his promise for ourselves. Every time we invite the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to fill us with new life and resurrection power, we expand the boundaries of our love. We push back the orphanages of this world by creating space within us where God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit can make their home. I will not leave you orphaned. Over and over, day after day, regardless of what is happening in our lives, this is Jesus' promise. Ben's client was reminded that she was not alone. Ben stayed up on the phone with her until midnight, listening to her, reminding her that she wasn't alone, as he quickly and calmly worked to resolve her compromised email account remotely. He did this in order to enable her to reach out to her friends and her loved ones during this time of isolation. She had not been abandoned. We have not been abandoned. You have received something even greater. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to guide you, protect you, to watch over you and enable you to love with all that you are, with all that you have. Just as you have been deeply loved and claimed as God's own beloved child yourself. Amen.
Let us together affirm our faith as we say the words of the Hear, O Israel.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and the great commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.
Let us pray for the church and for the world. As we stand in God's presence, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the whole people of God, that each one may be a true and faithful servant of Christ, we lift up Bishop Michael Olton, the clergy and people of the Diocese of Ontario, the Anglican Church of Korea, the Sisterhood of St. John the Divine, and the Order of the Holy Cross Priory, the Parish of St. Michael the Archangel, and the Reverend Canon Richard C. Tanner. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those drawing near to the light of faith, that the Lord will bring them to true knowledge of himself. Let us lift up those participating in the Alpha Program, those at Shepherd Village, the Stephen Lewis Foundation, the Grandmothers to Grandmothers Program, Toronto Christ Gospel Church, Gamblers Anonymous, Agent Court Community Services Association, the Rehab Network of Canada, and for the song group Cruisin'. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our families and friends, that the Lord will give them joy and satisfaction in all they do. We lift up Marcia, Barry, Edlin, Brian, and Anne. Let us also give thanks for the lives of William Selfridge Day, Mary Selina Day, Arthur John Day, Gertrude Mary Wood, Cyril Adams, the Honorable Richard James Stanbury, Margaret Follins, Muirhead Stanbury. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are lonely, sick, hungry, persecuted, or ignored, that the Lord will comfort and sustain them. We lift up today M, Irwin, Audrey, Terry, Jackie, Siobhan, Bill and Debbie, and Bob, and anyone else who is in our hearts. Let us pray their names either silently or aloud. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are caring for our society's most vulnerable, that they would be protected, that the Lord would give them such strength and compassion as they put their lives on the line day after day. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our country, for Justin, Doug, and John, that they would govern with patience and wisdom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the whole human family, that they may live together in justice and peace, that we would care for our neighbors and the people of and be people of kindness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Father of all, who sees that none of us are orphaned. May we know your comforting presence in this time of fear, anxiety, and loneliness. May we know and share your love. Amen.
Amen.
Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you riches beyond imagination. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us pray as our Savior has taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
May the risen Christ grant us the joys of eternal life.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.
The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine on us and be gracious to us. The Lord look upon us with favor and grant us peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.